The following program is brought to you by the Vodoliak Law Group, fighting insurance companies since 1963, and TickSplits.com. The price you see is the price you pay.
And it's a flea flicker. Jones loads up. McLaurin has it inside the 20.
Nice job by McLaurin going up and taking the football.
Have you met with the Chicago Bears? And if so, how did that go?
I did last night. They said I killed their interview.
Andy Isabella on the screen to the left. Isabella inside the 10, stays on his feet and into the end zone.
Nice run after the catch by Isabella, but you got to give a hat tip to your left tackle, Chuma Edoga. He's the one that made that happen. He needs to get a sticker.
Have you met with the Chicago Bears? And if so, have they talked to you about what position they're looking, right side, left side, guard, tackle?
I remember talking to the Chicago Bears, but they didn't really get too in-depth about a position. They just want to know my background, get to know me more as a person.
First and goal. Give to Williams. And he is in. A touchdown for Notre Dame's Dexter Williams.
I talked to you the other day. You told me that you were going to meet with the Chicago Bears.
Yeah.
Formal meeting. How'd they go?
Oh, it went great. It was good. It was just real good just talking to them. We talked about a lot of good things. We went over a couple plays. We watched some film. Watched a lot of the Clemson game. And they basically drilled me the whole time. But I answered back. I fired back. And I told them if they ever gave me a chance, they would not regret it. They would not regret it.
Bears fans, this is the very first episode of Draft on Tap. My name is Aldo Gandia. With me is Danny Shimon. He and I were down at the Reese's Senior Bowl, and we've got player interviews and analysis. Danny, how are you, my friend?
Aldo, how are you, my friend? How are you? It's been, about a week now since we got back, and I already missed Mobile.
What do you miss most about Mobile, Alabama?
Well, it's 3 years I've been going in a row now, and every time I go down there, it's something different. You know, the people are nice. You learn something new about the culture. The atmosphere is just, it's all football. It's practice every day, and then you go to the game at the end of the week, and it's just a real cool scene and cool setting. Now, you stayed for the game, so I'm sure you have more to add in terms of how that the whole ambiance is for the game day, but just being there from Monday through Friday, it was just a great time. And of course, I spent time with you and then West Coast Phil and a bunch of other NFL scouts and a bunch of other people out there. So it's just a great time if you love football.
Yeah, it was nice to get together with West Coast Phil. He wants to come on Bears 100 Proof and debate East Coast Phil, draft Dr. Philotoshin, on whether Khalil Mack is a Hall of Fame player. West Coast Phil says he is not.
Wow. Just let me know the time and date. I'm going to get my popcorn. I'm going to sit back. I'm going to relax.
Yeah, that's going
to
be intense.
Listen to the fireworks go off there.
Really? But I got to tell you, I totally agree. It is a lot of fun. This is my second year of going down to Mobile, Alabama for the Senior Bowl. And they do a really nice job of catering to the media and bloggers like ourselves. And they welcome us with open arms. They really appreciate the publicity that we're sharing about the event. They give us access to the players virtually every day. So we've got some great interviews to share with you about the players. The game itself, I stayed for the game, as Danny mentioned, and the tailgating experience down there. Unlike last year where it was rainy, this year I got the full experience of the tailgate experience because temperatures were in the 60s. Lots and lots of people out there just for tailgating. They were out there during the game and cooking all sorts of great Southern food, and it was just a really good time. So I put up on Twitter that next season, maybe we can get some of the barflies down there, people who want to get away for a long weekend and meet up down there at Mobile, Alabama, eat some of that fine cuisine down there, and have some fun, watch the game and stuff. That would be cool.
That would be awesome. Like I said, get tailgaters out there. We'll have a big party. And what I want to know is how many peanut butter cups did you have, Aldo?
I didn't have that many. I actually just had two.
Come on.
Really? At the press box, I had two. And then during the week, they gave out a couple of bags. They gave out several bags of that mix of their product. And I had one of those bags. So I was pretty good, although I have to admit that I really did partake on some of the desserts, the local menus down there. And had on the day after the game, I treated myself to a couple of coconut margaritas. Excuse me, coconut.
There we go.
Coconut martinis. Those were really good. I didn't need a plane to fly home the next morning.
I really wanted one of those like big ass peanut butter cups that they were giving out on the sideline. Like they, I didn't see any of those in the press box or on the sidelines in terms of the stadium, but. During the game when they were interviewing guys on TV, they were giving out these huge, like big ass peanut butter cup. And I'm like, that's what I want right there. See, I can finish one of those things off.
Well, I'm surprised to hear that because you're really good about your diet. You are
some peanut butter and chocolate gets me going.
Yeah. You know? Can't blame you about that. All right. So let me get your impressions about the game itself. Basically what I want to do throughout the show is talk about the week in general, the game, some overall viewpoints that you had. Then we'll get into talking about the needs that Chicago Bears are probably going to be looking for in this upcoming draft. We know that free agency happens first. So we're just speculating on what their needs are. Hey, Greg Braggs, what's happening? Greg Braggs just joined the chat room.
What's up, Greg?
Then we'll get your five players who really helped themselves the most, and then we'll talk about some of the players who could help the Bears, guys that we probably don't know much about. I learned a lot about a lot of players while I was down there, so that was a great experience for me, and so hopefully we can pass that on to our listeners. And then we'll end the show by talking about the players that you have been scouting outside of the Senior Bowl that you're going to continue to scout, and you'll want to share with our listeners a little bit about who they are and why we should keep an eye on them. So first, let me begin by having you just talk about the week in general. What did you see in practice? What did you see, in talking to players and so forth? What was your general sense about this year's Reese's Senior Bowl?
Well, just in general, in terms of the practice, I mean, what we saw was a lot of competition. The one-on-ones, you know, the DBs versus the receivers, the offensive line versus defensive line, that brought out the best in a lot of the players. You could see a lot of these guys were going full tilt. They weren't holding back. They're in the one-on-ones between the offense and the defensive linemen. You saw some of the skirmishes going on. A couple of times I saw two defensive linemen actually have their jerseys fully torn off. Yeah. And they're practicing with just shoulder pads. So that, I mean, it was competitive, which you want to see. The one thing with the Senior Bowl this year, they have a new director in Jim Nagy, and he did a good job, from what I was talking to some of the scouts there, he did a good job of incorporating the current NFL scouts in terms of helping them pick the roster. So what I mean by that is he would, you know, say, all right, you know, who's a guy you think should be here? You know, smaller school guys or guys that are not getting the pub recognition or, you know, that should be getting some, you know, deserved love, if you will, in these postseason games. And he incorporated their opinion and invited a lot of these guys down here to Mobile this year. So I think, you know, those smaller school guys coming in, they had a chip on their shoulder. They wanted to prove, hey, you know, this is a step up in competition. Now I can hang here. They wanted to do it in front of these NFL scouts, in front of the media members, you know, so that was good to see. And like I said, the whole week, in terms of, you know, competition, crisp practices, being able to decipher, you know, who's going against who, you know, breaking it down was really what's good. The only thing damper was the Wednesday practice because of the rain and the weather. It was taken, moved indoor to the South Alabama campus. And unfortunately, that couldn't house all the media members and the scouts. So only, I think, two scouts from each team were allowed to come and view that practice. Now the rest of it was obviously taped and made available to the media and to the rest of the community, scouting community, afterwards. But that was the only real damper. You know, we had to kind of watch that, you know, like on tape delay, if you will. So other than that, I mean, I had, like I said, it was a good week. I think the game was actually pretty competitive. I think I don't know if you noticed from the press box, but John Gruden was handing out stickers for every guy who did anything positive in the game. Whether, yeah. I mean, I think your boy Cole Tracy or or one of the kickers. I'm not sure which one, but they got a sticker as well, whether it was a punter or a kicker. But so he was out there, you know, dishing out Raider stickers. So it was. I think it was a good atmosphere. The coaching staff, both of them, the North and the South, Gruden and Kyle Shanahan, had crisp practices. And it, you know, and like I said, the game cultivated in a pretty entertaining game at the end.
Yeah, I'm not sure Cole Tracy is my boy anymore after he missed what was it? The very first kick was a short field goal attempt, I believe, and then you and I talked to him afterwards. Yeah, you know, I wasn't too impressed with him.
I was kind of leery when he said Cody Parkey was a great kicker.
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, okay. I don't know about you now.
It was like I had a schoolgirl crush on this guy, and then all of a sudden he said that about Cody Parkey, and I was like starting to look around at some of the other kickers. Yeah.
You had a wandering eye after that one.
Exactly. So you mentioned Jim Nagy, who headed this year's Reese's Senior Bowl. It was his very first one. I caught up with him right after the game, about 5 minutes after the game, and talked to him for about a minute and a half. This is our conversation.
Jim, phenomenal week here. What are you most proud of what turned out here during Senior Bowl weekend moment?
I'm proud of all the players that came and played in the game. You know, there was only six seniors we invited that didn't come, and four of them were injured, had injury-related issues. So for these guys all to come and show up and compete, guys that are at the top of their position group, I'm proud of that.
What players stood out for you, and have you already handed out Player of the Game awards?
Yes, we did. Daniel Jones was overall MVP. The South team was Tyree Jackson, led that drive there at the end, and then offensive MVP for the other team for the North is Andy Isabella, the receiver. Yeah, they all showed up. They all made plays. Charles Amenahu from Texas played great. He was in the mix there for one of the MVP awards, so it was fun.
Was there a player out there that perhaps people may have overlooked, but you'd like to kind of showcase their name for what they did, not only this week, but not only in this game, but all week long?
Yeah, Nasir Adderley from Delaware had an interception. He's a really good player. Anthony Nelson from Iowa was really a late add for us. There was a junior graduate that we didn't anticipate graduating, and he came out, had a really nice sack. So I love all those players, so they're all my guys.
Great week. Congratulations.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
So let's get to who your guys were. Who are the five players, Danny, that you have identified of guys that really helped their draft stock this week?
Just real quick before I go there, I just wanted to touch base here on what Jim said in terms of the seniors that declined invitations, because before the weigh-ins, he went through the the list of decline, who didn't want to show up, blah, blah, blah. And the four seniors that declined were DeAndre Baker from Georgia, Christian Wilkins from Clemson, Paris Campbell from Ohio State, and Damian Williams, from Alabama. Mm-hmm. And then LJ Scott, the running back from Michigan State, didn't show up because he was quote-unquote banged up, and that's how they said it too. So that's not a very good ringing endorsement for Mr. LJ Scott. Mm-hmm. But getting to my five guys, man, I'll tell you, I fell in love with the receiving corps. So the first guy, obviously, Penny Hart. I think you're tired of me talking about him to you during practice. I'm like, look, Hart, look what he's doing. I think you're like, all right, I got it. Shut up. But I mean, yeah, this kid. And it's funny because talking to my scout friends later on, they're not as high as them as I am. And I'm not sure if what I'm missing here. But I mean, in terms of quickness, being able to, if you give him a two-way go, he had cornerbacks guessing, in terms of the one-on-ones, because when you give him a two-way go, they had no idea which way he was going to cut, and they were kind of anticipating and guessing. He was just making them look silly. His ability to catch the ball in stride, accelerate and actually gain that separation from the defenders was really impressive. The only thing about him is his stature. Mm-hmm. I think he came in around 5'8". Right. He doesn't have the longest arms. So, in terms of extending away from his body, being able to go up and get those 50-50 jump balls, that's going to be difficult for him. But if you put him in the slot, and I can just picture giving this kid to Matt Nagy and having him use him or utilize him in this Bears offense and the way, he's going to be able to get the ball to him in multiple different ways, whether it's in the slot, whether it's on a jet sweep, whether it's in a bubble screen. He might even line him up in a backfield and pitch the ball to him. So you know, just those kind of weapons, a kid like this, envisioning him and drafting and kind of like for the Bears here, you know, envisioning him in this offense really excited me. And he's a kid that really, I thought, helped himself tremendously.
And Danny, his hands are 8 7/8. Right. Is that
that's
big enough?
Ideal.
Is that big enough?
Go ahead.
Just asking, is that big enough?
No, typically you want, you know, the bigger hands, the better. You know, mm-hmm. guys with 9, 9.5 and high, larger hands, you know, guys with 10-inch hands, you see those guys like Keelan Doss, you know, guys just go up there and just snatch the ball in the air. But you know, during your practices, every ball thrown his way, I didn't see him drop any. So that's the one thing with Penny Hart was that, you know, he was consistent catching the ball. You know, he was catching it, you know, even if the ball was a little bit out in front of him, he was able to extend, you know, a little bit and get that ball, reel it in. So, and like I said, the ability to cut on the dime, to be able to cut and run his route without having to decelerate and to slow down is key. And like I said, when given that two-way goal versus that corner in that slot, I mean, the corner had no chance. I mean, he was running any route he wanted, and he was creating that separation, and it was just obvious.
I heard comparisons to Taylor Gabriel of the Chicago Bears. Do you think that's fair?
That's fair. Yeah, that's fair. I think Gabriel might be faster in terms of straight line speed. You know, Gabriel says he can run a 4.2, 4.3. So we'll see what he times out. That's a heart that is at the combine. Mm-hmm. But I just think that Gabriel is a good comparison. Some people will compare him to Tyreek Hill. I don't see that because, I mean, Hill just got sprinter speed, and I don't think Hart has that type of speed. But in terms of lateral quickness and agility, and again, in a slot, you know, you need that two-way go ability. You need that lateral agility and quickness to be able to separate from these defenders. So I think he's perfectly made to fit in that slot position.
All right. So Penny Hart from Georgia State is one of the five players. Now let's move on.
Deebo Samuel, another wide receiver from South Carolina. That last practice on Thursday, last pad-up practice on Thursday, he was a man possessed. I mean, he couldn't be stopped. He was running patterns in the 11-on-11 drills towards the end of the practice, and he was leaving cornerbacks bewildered. And he's a guy that got better as the week went on as well. Now, he's a little bit bigger than Hart. He's 5'11", 216 pounds. He's got the 33-inch arms, which allows him to be able to extend and you know, catch away from his body. So giving him a bigger catch radius than you will comparing him to, like, say, someone like Hart. He's got the 10-inch hands, bigger hands. So he was definitely a guy that caught my eye, and another guy that I think could work in the slot as well as outside too. So I think he's a guy that really helped himself this week. And he also, he has some special teams experience. He has 42 career kickoff returns for over 1,000 yards and 4 touchdowns. So not only will he be able to come in and help you as a receiver, but also be able to come in and help you on special teams as well. So that's a extra added bonus with Deebo Samuel.
Now, does it bother you that he only caught one pass for 15 yards in the game, and he was targeted a lot? I opened up my stat report here, but for some reason they don't have targets. But he had to be targeted at least 8-9 times in that game, and to only come up with one pass, does that bother you at all?
Not really, because I take more stock in what happens during the week than I do really in what happens in the game. Yeah, the game is nice, like a little cherry on top, but it's more so the week, the one-on-ones, the competition going against, you know, the opposite corner. Just basically you and him, you got to beat him. And also the 11-on-11s, where basically they're running the system against, you know, their defense. So in those kind of scrimmages, I see more of him than this is an all-star game, right? So it's like kind of like the Pro Bowl, if you will, in the NFL, where, you know, things that you kind of expect to happen don't really happen. So it really doesn't bother me. Even Penny Hart, I think, only had one target, I think, for one catch for 7 yards or something like that. So that was also surprising as well, that these guys didn't get more balls thrown the way. But again, it's like the way the offense goes, the way the play call goes. You know, again, it's an all-star game. But for me personally, I take what happens in the week, the practices leading up to the game, those results more, I jot those down, take note of those more than what happens in the actual game.
Yeah, I was surprised about Penny only getting one catch for 70 yards and Andy Isabella getting 7 catches for 74 yards and a touchdown. I almost felt like John Gruden was doing that on purpose because he didn't want people to see how great Penny Hart is.
Well, that's funny because Isabella had a so-so week.
Right.
You know, like he had some drops. He had some sometimes where he ran the wrong route and on the 11-on-11s. And it's like, And then, but then the game, the time comes and he flips it on. So this guy might be a game player as opposed to a practice player. So,
right.
You know, it's something, but he too impressed me. What impressed me about Isabella though, in the game, I should say, was his ability after the catch. You know, he's only a 5'8", 5'9", I believe it was he measured in as.
Oh my
gosh. And his ability to get yards after the catch was really impressive in the game. Now, again, let's kind of put it in perspective. It was an all-star game. How hard are these guys going to tackle? You know, we can all take that with a grain of salt. But he had a pretty good game, and I agree. You know, his ability to be able to get those quick hitters, the bubble screens, the slip screens, and be able to get off field quickly is definitely his strength.
Very good. Okay, so you've got two players in. Let's go for number three.
Well, I have a third receiver, and this is going to be, I'm sure, not a surprise to you as well. Terry McLaurin from Ohio State.
Oh, yeah.
One week, you'll laugh because I know I bothered you, I peppered you with this guy as well. But this is another guy that, you know, coming down here, my vision just of doing some prep work on these players was, you know, for lack of better terms, a Josh Bellamy, right? A guy who was terrific on special teams for Ohio State, a leader in terms of he was like a team captain. But a guy receiving wise, yeah, he was okay, but he never really popped. But man, and when we talked to him, you and I kind of told him, I said, hey, you know what? In Ohio State, you never really did what you're doing here during this week. I know Ohio State had a lot of mouths to feed in terms of talent at the receiver position, running back, tight end, so on and so forth. Is it just that you just didn't have an opportunity to showcase your skills? And he agreed. He said, yeah. He goes, he wanted to come down here in Mobile, that is, and show to the NFL scouts and the rest of us that he is more than just what I had envisioned for him as a special teams guy and a fourth, fifth receiver, that he is a guy that can go out there and be a third receiver, possibly a number two receiver, you know, and go out there and, you know, because he was just running terrific, crisp routes, was able to make plays or catches on contact. So he's got a guy draped all over him, but he was still able to catch the ball. And he also was able to when he was going deep on the nine route or the just a straight go, you know, even if the corner head was in phase with him, it was hip to hip with him, he had that burst, that acceleration to go ahead and create that vertical separation that allowed him to catch the ball easily and you know, get the touchdown. So he's a guy that really impressed me as well. So all those three receivers, you know, throughout the week were just on my, you know, A-list in terms of the type of impression they made on me.
And in the beginning of the show, I played a clip from a part of our conversation with Terry McLaurin, and he said that he did meet with the Chicago Bears. They told him that he really wowed them in the interview, and he really wowed us too. And when we talked to him for about 3-4 minutes, and the kid is very well spoken. He loves to play the game of football. He's a competitor. He had a pretty decent game on Saturday. He failed, though, on one pass over the middle that should have been a great catch for a touchdown. The ball did hit him in the hands. It was a really well-thrown ball by the quarterback in the end zone, but he came up short with that. But he came through on every other time he was asked to. Terry McLaurin is definitely an eye to keep on, definitely a player to keep an eye on.
And what's great about these guys is, So the receiving core as a whole, this class as a whole, it may not have the Odell Beckham Jr., it may not have the Julio Jones, but it's got depth. It's got a lot of guys, you know, it's kind of like Baskin Robbins, pick your flavor. You want a big, tall receiver who can go up and get those 50-50 balls? You got them. You want a speed guy who can go in the slot? You want a guy, just a straight burner who can stay up on the outside and run those deep patterns and take tops off the defenses? You got them. But it's deep. So guys like this, like guys like Hart, guys like McLaurin, guys like Deebo Samuel may slip to the Bears in the third, fourth, fifth round. You know, we're going to see receivers not drafted in this draft become contributors, possibly as quick as their rookie years, whether it's on special teams, whether it's as a third receiver. You know, this is a deep class, and you're going to get good players later on in the draft. So, you know, somebody say, oh, the Bears don't have a first or second round pick. It doesn't mean you cannot get quality players, guys. You know, this, like I said, the receiver class is an area, or the receiver group, I should say, is an area that the Bears, I feel, have a need in. And this class is deep enough where they can fill that need later on in the draft.
Excellent. All right, let's go on to player number four. Just to recap who you have, the first three, it's Deebo Samuel, the wide receiver from South Carolina, Penny Hart, wide receiver from Georgia State, and Terry McLaurin, the wide receiver from Ohio State. Who do you have at number four?
Number four, this guy really caught me by surprise, and Chuma Edoga. Mm. He is an offensive lineman from Southern Cal. He came in at 6'4", 303 pounds, with a little over 34-inch, almost 35-inch arms. So he played right tackle for USC, but it was funny enough, he didn't play right tackle at all, to my knowledge. I didn't see him at all line up at right tackle during the Senior Bowl week. He was lined up at left tackle. And after watching the practice tapes, you could see why. He's got the foot quickness, the agility, and the athleticism to be able to handle the left side. The only thing, from what I was talking to some of my scout guys out there, was that they see him, because of the size, probably better suited to move inside to guard. So, and I know why, because they're looking for special certain type traits, heights, so on and so forth. But I think because of his arm length and his athleticism, his quick feet, his ability to recover, when he's beaten, even if he doesn't get off at the snap of the ball, and the defensive end has a step on him, he's got the athletic ability, the agility, the quickness to be able to recover and ride that guy past the quarterback, past the pocket. I came back and did some more research on him, and there's a current left tackle starting in the NFL, right? He's at 6'4", 303 pounds, and about 34 3/8 arm length. And he's been, I'd say, okay, or maybe even, you might even say successful. Guess who that guy is?
Charles Leno?
Yeah, you got it.
Ah, I'm good, man.
Yeah, good. So Leno is able to do this, and I think this guy, Chuma Edoga, is just as athletic as Leno. And if you saw that game, you saw the way he was able to get down into the second level, spring Isabella on that touchdown, and also in terms of the run game, be able to pull and lead for a running back. So I think athletically he can play left tackle. I just hope he's given a chance. So he's a guy that really impressed me, especially for a guy who played predominantly on the right side, okay, during his college career. And we talk to these guys. They tell us how difficult it is to go from the left to the right and vice versa. Mm-hmm. So for him to come down here, play against a top competition, and perform well, in my opinion, is very impressive.
Very, very impressive. Here's a little bit of the conversation you had with Chuma after Friday's practice.
No, you only had started 26 games out of 44 at USC, 10 this past season. So I know there were some players ahead of you that went into the NFL. So how did you prepare for that, and how did you kind of stay with it and then get ready to come out here and compete against these
Just really started with my training. You know, I'm training down in Kennesaw, Georgia, prime athlete development. So just being down there, going to work every day, training both right and left. So just, trying to get ready to compete with the best guys out here.
Now, I noticed, I see you playing more right tackle, but here you're playing a lot of left tackle. I've also seen you take some snaps inside a guard. Is there a position that you're more comfortable at?
Of course, coming in, I was more comfortable at right because that's what I've been playing my whole career. But, it was just a new learning experience for me coming out here playing left against some of the best guys in the country, getting some good work in, getting some coaching from some of the best coaches like Tom Cable. So, I just had a great time.
So, obviously, covering the Chicago Bears, we want to know, have you met with the Chicago Bears? And if so, have they talked to you about what position they're looking, right side, left side, guard, tackle?
I remember talking to the Chicago Bears, but they didn't really get too in-depth about a position. They just want to know my background, get to know me more as a person.
Well, I got to say, he seems very impressive as a person. And a shout out to Berlissimo, who sent us a direct message and said, you and Danny, please talk to this Chuma Edoga, because I've been doing a little reading up on him. And this guy is very impressive. And Berlissimo nailed it. This guy is somebody to keep an eye on.
Yep, he did. He sure did. Hats off to Berlissimo. He should come out next year with us to Mobile. Be part of our scouting team there.
I love that idea. Bellissimo. We'll go to London for the Bears game against the Raiders in London, and you come out to Mobile. It's a cheap ticket, Bellissimo. So start saving. I love it. All right. So who do you got, the fifth player on your list of five?
This guy was a bowling ball, a wrecking ball throughout the week. He had a very, very interesting week, both on and off the field.
I know who this is.
Kalen Saunders from Western Illinois. I mean, this guy, I sound like Gruden, this guy, but
I like it.
But yeah, I mean, he was literally at on one-on-ones. At times, he was unblockable. I don't want to say he was Aaron Donald unblockable, because there's no one like Aaron Donald. I've seen those Aaron Donald one-on-ones at the Senior Bowl, and he's not Aaron Donald. But his ability to convert his size, which is up to 6 feet and 327 pounds. He was able to win the leverage battle, right? So he was able to get underneath the chest plate or the pads of the offensive lineman and be able to flip his hips, drive his legs, and just bully them back into the quarterback. He's got the quickness to be able to if he plays a 4-3 technique, to be able to hit the gap right off the snap. He's got that ability to be able to go in and penetrate and create havoc at the line of scrimmage. So he's a guy that really impressed me with his quickness. And, you know, looking over his tape, I'm trying to scout, as a bear scout here, and trying to see him play in the system. You know, I looked at him like, oh, too short, probably only able to play. But then I look at him like, wait, you know, if you play him at nose tackle or nose guard behind Eddie Goldman, right, and he, you know, spell Eddie Goldman here and there, he's a guy that can come in and provide a pass rush. Now, he's got to get a little bit stronger, a little bit more stout, the point of contact. Not that he's weak or anything like that, but just, you're going to be facing NFL guys here, right? So he's got to get a little bit stronger, which is understandable, but he would be one heck of a backup, you know, to come in and be able to provide that pressure, be able to hit that gap and attack in terms of a backup for the Bears. So he's a guy that I wouldn't – initially I was like, all right, probably not going to fit the Bears scheme. But, you know, we now have a defensive coordinator that might be more, you know, more attack-oriented. And, you know, we always think blitzing, but maybe he's going to have more of his guys going upfield. Mm. We'll see. But so he could be a guy that the Bears could look at as well. But this guy was really impressive. I think he, you know, really, you know, impressed a lot of scouts, the coaching staff, the fact that he was able to – take care of his personal stuff. You know, his fiance had the couple's, you know, their first child. So
That's right.
I think it was during media day while we were trying to interview him, we were looking for him, and he was gone because his girlfriend had gone into labor. Right. Thank you. So he was talking to her like, should I go? Should I stay? And I guess they told him to stay, and then he ended up going, like, I think after Thursday, seeing after the baby was delivered, seeing the baby, and then came back to the games and had a really good game. That he had a sack in the game. So this guy really had an impressive week, and then culminated with the game as well.
Well, it's funny that you compared him to Aaron Donald. He compared himself to Aaron Donald and said, I'm kind of like a baby Aaron Donald because he's a little shorter than the short Aaron Donald. He had 15 sacks in his last two seasons over at Western Illinois. He blocked a total of 6 passes in his career at Western Illinois. So despite his height factor, he puts his hands up there and he gets his hands on the ball. He had 4 forced fumbles. He recovered 3 of them over his collegiate career. Danny and I probably talked to, I don't know, 25, 30 players while we were down there. And for me, he was one of the most fun interviews. I've got a clip here. I've actually got 2 clips of him. This is him after the game, answering questions about his play and the week. And then I want to play something else that I put up on Twitter, but I'd like to share again on the show. Here is Kalen Saunders.
The speed of the game was a little bit different, but I mean, I adjusted well, and I wasn't overwhelmed at all. I feel like I played really good in the game and throughout practice. So, you know, I was confident coming into it and going out of it.
You grade yourself this week?
Honestly, I don't really know. You know, it all depends on what teams want to see from me and what teams think of me. So, you know, they're fluctuating grades. There will always be fluctuating grades. So, you know, like I said, I was confident in myself as far as how I played and how I performed in the game and how I played throughout practice. But as far as a solid grade, I honestly have no idea.
What are one or two things you bring to an NFL organization day one?
I'm going to bring for sure a hard work ethic, because I know and I've learned from an early age that nothing is guaranteed and nothing is given to you. And my dad will always say, nobody owes you anything. And that's a true statement. So, I'm going to work hard for sure. And then just, the love of the game. Like, I feel like if you have a lot of players, if you have 11 players on the field at once that all love the game a tremendous amount, then you can't lose. Like, you know what I mean? Obviously, the scoreboard might be different, but if you have 11 people that love the game, they're all going to play hard for you. And that's all I want. I just want reliability from the guy next to me, and I know I'm going to be able to give that myself.
How can you not love that attitude from Kalen Saunders from Western Illinois? I also asked him, because as Danny just mentioned, his fiance gave birth on Monday while he was out there. So he flew home, and he told me that when he flew back, he went to the wrong airport. He went to O'Hare Airport instead of Midway Airport. But he said his agents were just really great, and Jim Nagy and his team were really great in terms of getting him back. He only missed one practice and was able to just to get the work done. And the guy clearly has his act together. But I asked him this question afterwards. We had a little fun.
Speed of the game was a little bit different, but I mean,
that obviously is incorrect. Let me try it here.
With all the great things that have happened to you this week, could you kind of play along with me and tell me what are the top three things that happened?
Well, definitely having a daughter. That's number one by far. Like, you know, that was one of the craziest feelings I've ever experienced in my life, especially being out here. I didn't, it didn't set in until I walked in the hospital and I'm like walking up to the room and stuff like that. So, that was number one by far. And then I would say number two was just when Coach Gruden asked me to do a backflip. That was pretty cool too. I ain't gonna lie. Like, my agent texted me afterwards and was like, I thought we said no more backflips. I'm like, listen, man, Coach Gruden tell you to do a flip. That's what you do. And then three is just playing in this game. Like, not any specific play, but just being able to go out there and compete and show what I can do as far as against really talented players and from all over the nation. So, that was definitely those were the top three.
Well, if you become a member of the Chicago Bears, you have to do a backflip with Tariq Cohen.
That's what I've been hearing. So, Tariq, hey, they're trying to do it. We're going to have to do it, man, for sure.
Did you talk to the Bears at all this week? And if so, how did that go?
Yeah, I talked to the Bears. I talked to one of their scouts, and it went really smoothly. They asked a whole bunch of questions, and, I gave them genuine answers, and the guy said he really liked that about me, that I don't try and just, be one of those guys that give kind of false, fake answers to make it seem like, oh, I'm really trying. Like, I'll be real, and I'm being myself. And he really liked that, though, and he appreciated it.
Danny, just listening to the guy, don't you want him on the Chicago Bears?
Gotta love him, man. I think you're gonna get him in trouble here doing backflips at 320 pounds. I don't think you should do that, but that would be interesting to see. Watch him and Tariq Cohen do those backflips.
Oh my god!
Wow. But yeah, one thing, like you mentioned, these guys were just so outgoing, gregarious, and honest, with us. And to me, that was different. That was different this year than from previous years. These guys, they were like, if you ask them, what are their weaknesses, what are their strengths, they would just come on and tell you.
Yeah.
Previous years, you had guys coached up. Yep. And they tell you the whatever that their agents or whatever their people, their handlers had told them to say. They kind of repeated over and over again But these guys were just being honest. And these guys, I walked away from a lot of these guys. I'm like, damn, I'm impressed. Like, I wouldn't mind having this guy, represent us in terms of the Chicago Bears. So, very, very, very good kid, a lot of good kids. And it was something that I really enjoyed. Another thing I enjoyed about this week was just meeting these kids, talking to them. And like I said, having them open up and look you in the eye and answer your question honestly, I didn't feel like they were lying to me at all.
Right. I got the same impression. These guys were genuine guys, and they're all going to represent the NFL really, really well. All right, let's get to the portion of the show that we promised our audience. What do we think, particularly you, Danny, what do you think the Bears' needs are going to be? What are they potentially going to address in the draft? We know, and we're going to do several shows on free agency, which happens in March. And so the Bears clearly will try to address some of their needs there. But with the salary cap being what it is and the potential that the Bears are going to continue to spend money on some of their own players, there may not be that much money for a, you know, a lot of free agents or definitely for a big name free agent unless Ryan Pace works some magic. So let's just kind of focus on what do you think some of the Bears' needs are overall, and then we'll talk about some of the players who could potentially address those needs in the draft.
All right. So heading into Mobile, heading down to Mobile, I should say, I had five positions of need, in my opinion. One was offensive tackle, second was running back, tight end, safety, and cornerback. Obviously, like you just mentioned, free agency will take care of some of those. And obviously, then, you know, that was before they re-signed Bobby Massie at right tackle. So now that they have their starters solidified on the offensive line, I still think they need a tackle. You know, getting a young one in there. I know they have Rashard Coward there, but I think he's more a right tackle. Mm-hmm. I think they need a guy who could play some left tackle, possibly some left guard as well. Just a young guy to have in a pipeline. So maybe it's not a early round pick, but I still think they need an offensive tackle. So assuming that's low down on the priority, assuming they don't fill that position with a veteran free agent. So, you know, the next thing you know, we're running back, right? We've had this conversation multiple times. You know, is Jordan Howard going to be here next year? Are they possibly going to sign Kareem Hunt? You know, are they going to draft a running back? You know, some of the scouts I talked to down there told me straight out that they would be floored if the McCaskies allowed the Bears to sign Kareem Hunt. So that's something to be determined. We don't know what's going to happen, but say they don't sign Kareem Hunt, and if they, so I think running back is going to be a position of need. Even if you keep Jordan Howard, mm-hmm. Jordan Howard is going into his last year of his rookie contract, right. Okay? He's going to want either a new deal, all right, or you're going to let him play it out. So at worst case scenario, you get a running back that replaces Tyquan Mizell on the roster, mm-hmm. okay? Mm-hmm. And you mix him in there with Tariq Cohen and Jordan Howard, and then if this kid is developing the way you want it, he's a starter, potential starter, and you let Howard walk or you trade Howard, whatever happens. So that's a position I think is a huge, huge need for the Bears to fill. Tight end is another position I feel they need to fill. Deion Sims most likely will be released. Daniel Brown, I know he had limited opportunities, but whatever opportunities he was given, didn't do much with them. Ben Broniker, really, I think he's more of a special teams guy, core special teams player. I don't think really he's a guy we can rely on to be a consistent pass catcher at a tight end. So basically you're looking at Adam Shaheen and Trey Burton. So Burton had a good year last year, a little bit of a controversy at the end of the year for that playoff game. And then, of course, Shaheen with, you know, being unable to stay healthy. So those are some question marks that I have in my mind. So I feel like tight end is a position they need to address. Safety. At the currently right now, Adrian Amos is a free agent. What I'm hearing is that their talks are going on, right? They're trying to lock him up. But again, you know, it takes two to tango, right? Mm-hmm. So it's got to be, you know, what Amos wants, what the Bears want to give him, so on and so forth. They do have some guys, young guys, you know, Deion Bush and DeAndre Houston Carson that are on the bench that they could possibly have him come in and compete for Amos's position. Or they can go ahead and you know, get a, you know, draft a kid from college and put him in the mix as well. So that's a safety as a position as well that I think that needs to be filled. And then cornerback. Now, cornerback is a position. All right, so Bryce Callahan, to me, last year before he got hurt, was the best nickel corner in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And if you lose him, I think that's going to be a huge, huge spot to fill. A lot of guys think of nickel corner as just, your third or fourth corner. Nickel corners nowadays are pretty much starters in the NFL, mm-hmm. because a lot of these NFL teams, these defenses, they play about 60-70% of their snaps are in nickel. Right. So these guys are considered starters. A lot of these guys are getting paid, and I expect Callahan to get paid as a starter. So if you're not going to keep him because of restrictions in terms of the cap or you know, he does have a history of being, you know, injured. So if you want to call him injury prone or just maybe bad luck or whatnot. So if Callahan is gone, I think a nickel corner, someone who can handle that spot, is a priority. Now, do you want to draft a bigger corner, have him play outside, move either Amukamara or Kyle Fuller inside? I don't know if Amukamara could handle the slot. Maybe Fuller could handle the slot. I'm not sure. We know those slot corners, you need guys that are quick-footed, guys that have that lateral agility. They can keep, you know, stay hip-to-hip basically with those slot receivers. So we just talked about a couple of slot receivers in the draft and Penny Hart and, you know, guys that can, that are quick and quick twitch, and you have to be able to, you know, stay with them. So that inside corner slot position is not an easy one to fill. You have one of the best ones in the NFL in Bryce Callahan. He may or may not return. So that's a position. So those right there are my five top five positions of need for the Bears going into this free agency period as well as the draft.
So we're looking at offensive line, preferably somebody who can play that swing tackle position. We're looking at running back. We're looking at tight end. We're looking at the safety and cornerback positions. Now let's start addressing some of the players that we saw at the Senior Bowl that could potentially fill those areas. And by the way, I agree totally with these five positions that need to be addressed. I would perhaps maybe change the order. Did you prioritize them when you gave them to me?
No, not right. There's okay, no good. Particular order.
Okay,
no.
Good. All right, so let's go with the offensive line position. I would have to imagine that you think Chuma Eduga is a player that would be a perfect fit for the Chicago Bears, given that he played right tackle at USC and proved at the Senior Bowl that he can play left tackle.
I do. I just hope he's available.
Yeah.
You know, so the thing is now, you know, again, not having a first or second round pick, not picking, you know, until a third round, I don't know if he's third round, you know, because you're going to have bigger pressing needs than an offensive tackle in the third round, I'm assuming, right? So I don't know if you're going to use a third round pick for him. But say he drops to the fourth or fifth round because some teams might feel he's a guard. Some teams might like a more right tackle. Some teams might not even see him as a left tackle. But if you bring a guy like this, like we discussed about earlier, a guy who's able to, has experience on the right side, proved down at the Senior Bowl in Mobile he could play left tackle, okay, and has the athletic ability, the agility, the foot quickness, doesn't have the height that you look for prototypically, but he has the arm length, and that's a key here. You want tackles to have the arm length, the quick feet, and the agility to be able to mirror and pass protection, and you would like to see them be able to athletically get out and, you know, lead block, get into the second level of the defense, seal off a linebacker, so on and so forth. So Chuma has those. He did show those to me during the Senior Bowl week. Obviously, the combine coming up, the testing there will also go a long way in determining his final draft grade or draft stock. But I think that's a kid that you can bring in, a guy that doesn't need to come in and start, you know, knock on wood, hopefully everyone stays healthy, but a guy that can come in and develop, you know, as a backup, you know, a swing tackle, a guy who can play left tackle, possibly even left guard. And we know he can play right tackle because he's done it in college. So that's a kid as well. Now, if you're going for, a guy that really no one probably has heard about, a guy that really caught my eye, a small school guy, and I think you like him as well.
Oh, yeah.
Is this kid, Titus Howard, from Alabama State. Okay. Howard, I believe, came in at 6'5". I'm looking for my notes here in terms of his I don't know if you have it there in front of you, Aldo. But
hold on.
His height and his measurement here was 6'5", 322 pounds, yep, with 35-inch arms. So this is a kid, you know, the measurables are there, all right? The athleticism is there because I saw him in practice being able to mirror and move his feet and shuffle his feet, and he's got the natural knee bend. He's got the power in his base. What I love about this kid is he's got one hell of a mean streak. You give me an offensive lineman with a mean streak, and I love him. And this kid not only has the athleticism to move and to be able to mirror and to pass protect, you also get out and run block, but he also has the mean streak. He will finish you off in terms of, you know, the defender. So he will, you know, if a guy fell, he didn't just stand there, look over him. He jumped on top of him. He buried him. And this is practice for Mobile, right? This is for practice for the Senior Bowl. Imagine this guy's actually playing in a real game, what he's going to do. So again, Alabama State, the level of competition is going to be low. So there's going to be an adjustment period, right? But again, we're talking about a guy that's going to come in and sit and learn, you know, from, you know, the veterans that are currently in front of him, from Harry Hiestand, the Bears offensive line coach. So this is a good developmental prospect. The only question is, what is his ceiling and what is his floor? How high will he go, and will he be available in, you know, I'm thinking more fifth, sixth round right now.
Yep.
Did he do enough to go higher? We'll see. Again, a lot of his final grade will be based off how he does on the testing and all that stuff and what team's seeing him. But I'm telling you, man, this guy really caught my eye, not only athletically, size-wise, but the fact that he will finish you off as a blocker, I absolutely love that.
Yeah, I spoke with him right after the game. This is about a 3-minute interview, so if you get bored at any point, Danny, you tell me so.
Who's the toughest competitor you went up against this week?
For the whole week, it would probably be Sweat, DN, Mississippi State. You know, me and him, we battled all week. You know, I beat him first one-on-one. He beat me second one-on-one. But I think I made him a better player. He made me a better player. So for this, you know, entire week, man, just going up against guys we had to go against at practice, you know, it just made me, you know, coming to realization that, man, these some good guys, man. They picked up here, man. These guys just made me, you know, made me step my game up to a whole nother level. And I just appreciate that, man, and I just appreciate Jim Nagy for giving me a chance, because if they wouldn't gave me a chance, you know, I would never be able to see that type of competition on a daily basis.
Did you get a little dinged up on Thursday's practice?
Thursday, yeah, my hamstring just tightened. It was just, you know, just something. I just want to be ready for the game, so I'm going to risk. I want to go out there today, man, give my team the best chance possible to win today.
Yeah, I saw that, and I was like, oh, man, I hope he can play.
Yeah, man, I got back home, man. You know, I had a lot of people, you know, texting me about that. I was like, hey, I'm okay.
How proud of you are you of not only your performance today, but everything that you did this week?
I'm proud, man. It's just, like I said, man, it's a feeling like no other. Like, a lot of guys be like, hey, only 1% of the guys, you know, make it to the NFL. But it's even a small amount of people, you know, get a chance to come out here to the Reese's Senior Bowl and compete. And I'm just glad I was part of that percentage, you know. And just to have some success down here, man, just make me feel like, the proudest I ever felt in my life. But then again, you know, that's still not enough for me. You know, I want to continue, you know, to get better each and every day. And I feel like this is just the beginning.
One of the other guys was telling me that they were advised to kind of, you're the CEO of your own company now, moving forward. So what's your company going to do moving forward to prepare for the NFL draft?
My company, you know, Wrath LA Hero, is back to training. You got to eat right, you know, get your body right, and you got to, you know, take coaching well with your position coach on the offensive line, you know, wherever you're training at, and you just continue, you know, stay out of trouble, you know, off the field, because that'd be the main thing with guys. They, you know, they do everything right, but then off the field, they get in trouble. So just, I have great agents behind me. I have a great family, you know, backing me up, and a great university, great coaches, great friends, you know, just keeping me on the right track. And I feel like we can only go up from here.
Last question, did you meet with the Chicago Bears, and if so, how did that go?
Yeah, I met with them. We had some a lot of laughs and stuff like that, because they like to, you know, throw the ball to the offensive tackles. And, you know, I caught a touchdown in college myself, so we just brought that up, and they asked me what one play I would like to run. I was like 89T, which is the play where they threw the ball to me. And they just laughing and stuff like that. It was a pretty good meeting, though.
That's awesome. All right. Well, hopefully we'll see you in Chicago.
Yes, sir. Thank
you.
Wouldn't that be something? Titus Howard from Little Alabama State comes to the Chicago Bears as a rookie tackle and catches a touchdown pass. That would be something.
Bradley Soul, his place in the Santa sleigh play will be up for grabs.
That's
so
right.
He's gonna have to compete for a spot.
It's amazing. I mean, again, Danny, here's just another one of the young men that we talked to that's just so impressive, man. I could have talked to this guy for hours. You're a really cool guy.
Right. And there's another tackle from a small school, Elon, which I don't even know where Elon's at.
Yes.
Ali Udo. This guy has got six. There it goes again. This guy, 6'5", 327 pounds. Okay, with 36-inch arms, and I mean that is that's what you're looking for in terms of, you know, offensive linemen. So raw as can be, right? But this is a guy, another guy. If you get him in, you know, you put him in that, you know, like I said, that training lab, and you just put him back there and let him learn. He's another guy you can probably bring in, and this is more of like a sixth to seventh round, possibly even, you know, undraft a free agent, depending. Some team might take a chance on him just because of his traits, you know, his physical ability. But again, this is a guy that you can bring in, and he could develop as well. So, you know, if we're going offensive line here, the tackle position, in my opinion, isn't as deep as, say, guard. So the only thing is, I don't think the Bears would go guard, but if they do want to bring in a guy who could play guard, I mean, there's going to be a number of options for them as well in terms of, you know, that position particularly, you know, if they want to go that way.
Yeah, I got a little audio from Ollie Udo, I think his name is. He played at the East-West Shrine Game and played really well, and then they brought him to the Senior Bowl. We caught up with him after Friday's practice. Here's a little audio from there.
Tired, huh?
Yeah.
Before, real quick, I just want to talk to you. You know, you're coming here kind of a small school guy and stepping up in terms of competition. How do you think you've faring so far this week?
I think I've done a pretty good job staying consistent, getting better every day. I think consistency is really a major thing that they would like to see here, and I think I've displayed that very well.
What are some of the things that coaches have stressed to you in terms of improving technique-wise, stance, anything?
Well, today was probably my alignment. I guess I was a little bit too far behind the guard, so I got the refs told me twice. That's probably the only major thing that I have to get right for game day on Saturday.
Now, you played predominantly left side or right side at Elon?
I played all 45 games at right.
Right. Okay. If you feel more comfortable, I'm assuming at the right side.
Yeah.
But and I noticed here you're playing some left tackle as well. So are the teams trying to flip you around?
I don't think I've gotten a single. I've gotten a right guard rep, but I don't think I've gotten a single left tackle rep here.
So you're obviously more comfortable on the right side.
Yeah.
We covered the Chicago Bears. Have you spoken with the Bears so far?
Yeah, I've spoken with them twice this week and last week at the Shrine Game.
Awesome. Cool. Well,
you know what's interesting, Danny? And I apologize for the audio being a little low there. I'll fix that for the podcast. It's interesting. We need to find out what this contract looks like for Bobby Massey because, you know, every contract now, almost every contract now that the Chicago Bears signed, the team has an out after a season or two, you know. And, you know, they draft a kid like Chuma Eduga or this guy, Ollie Udo, whoever, you know, these guys could be ready to go in a couple of seasons. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, not for long league in the NFL, you know, those Bobby could be gone or Charles Leno could be gone. And, you know, a prospect like this could be ready to step in. And, you know, that's just the way it is in the NFL. So we'll be keeping an eye on that contract status for Bobby Massey. Anybody else that you have at the offensive line position that could be a player the Chicago Bears might be targeting?
Well, if they move over to the guard position, like I was talking about earlier, mm-hmm. you know, later last time, mm-hmm. if they want to go instead of going tackle, because the tackle position, in my opinion, isn't as deep as guard, you know, there's a kid from Boston College, Chris Lindstrom, that I think mm-hmm. really, really yeah. impressed, you know, during the week. There's a kid, the guys from Oklahoma, Drew Samaya, and Ben Powers. I mean, these guys are just big, strong, rough, and, I mean, nasty. Drew Samaya is one of the more nasty offensive linemen I saw down in Mobile. Him and Titus Howard were probably right up there neck and neck in terms of just completely finishing off their guys and not even, like, trying to help them out. But, you know, guys like that, you know, I could see them fitting in with the Bears, you know, guys who are, you know, a pretty good job in terms of, you know, not only controlling the point of attack, or point, you know, at the line of scrimmage, but also being able to get out to the second level and being able to create, you know, blocking and seal off lanes, so on and so forth for running backs to be able to get out there too. So those are the guys, those guards in particular, if they go down in the third, fourth round, that I could see them probably taking a chance on. But again, will they be drafting a guard? Because, you know, with their current situation right now, I think they may be okay interior-wise, but, you know, like you said, things are always constantly changing. The roster is constantly changing. So let's see how this roster goes, what changes are made as we go on in the offseason and see. But right now, I don't see them going for a guard. But, you know, the tackle position is so thin. I think that, they, you know, if they do have an extra pick later on in day three and they want to bring in a young guy that they like and he's a guard, I think they might take a chance on him.
Tell me about Northern Illinois offensive tackle Max Scarping. I thought he disappointed tremendously. He's a big 6'6" kid, 320 pounds. Did you see it the same way that I did, that he didn't do much to help his draft stock Senior Bowl week?
You know, I was with you on that. On the first two practices, he was getting – first of all, he didn't have the speed to keep up on the left side. He was getting bowled back into the backfield. It just didn't look like, you know, he had the strength to be able to maintain his position. early on in the week. And then, but I don't know if it was just, he just got settled in to his surroundings. He got coached up, you know, by the coaching staff. But, you know, he had a better week going on. And like the third practice, I saw him like, hey, all right. You know, I'm expecting him to get blown up or, you know, get pushed back like he had been the previous mm-hmm. two. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden it's like, whoa, you know, he's got it now. His hands are up. He's protecting his chest. He was able to, you know, mirror and stay within the, you know, with in front of the defensive lineman. And then in terms of, you know, getting bowled back, you know, he was being able to, you know, at the initial snap, he was getting punched back a little bit, but he was able to recoil, you know, plant his feet and build that bridge that they call it. And we can arches his back and they can, you know, take on a bull rush. And he was doing that. And I was impressed. And I think he had a decent game as well. I mean, on Saturday. So, you know, he's a guy that started off slowly. I definitely was with you there. I'm like, man, this guy looks like a fish out of water. Doesn't look like he belongs here. It's a big time step up in competition. But I don't know if it was just, you know, he got settled in or he just got coached up. But I think he got better towards the end of the week. So, you know, it wasn't a total loss for him. But for those first 2 days, I was like, man, this guy doesn't look too good.
Well, he's definitely got the height and weight to play in the NFL. We'll keep an eye on him. This guy might be a guy who would be a great investment if he falls out of the draft and becomes an undrafted free agent. But maybe, as you say, you know, he played well enough to be a late round selection in the draft. Okay, let's move over to the running back position. We know what's happening there. Everyone is suspecting that Jordan Howard's days with the Chicago Bears are limited, that he definitely will not be a member of the team in 2020. And if he's in a member of the Bears in 2019, it's simply because they had not had any success in moving him and picking up some either draft assets or a player that could help at a certain position. So I'm with you and anyone else that says the Chicago Bears are going to be looking for a running back in this year's draft. Who do you like?
Well, in terms of the Senior Bowl, the guy coming in who I really liked was Dexter Williams, the kid from Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. And in terms of, you know, being able to run, being able to, you know, the vision, the acceleration, the ability to you know, once he gets through a line of scrimmage, to be able to run away from defenders, he showed that this week, right? The biggest question I had about Williams coming into the week were, can he catch? And I don't mean just like catching screen, but I'm talking about, can he run routes, you know, in the flats? Can he run any, you know, curls and hitches and all that stuff and be able to, you know, and, you know, run a route and catch the ball? So I think he had an okay week in terms of that, right, that aspect, catching the ball.
Absolutely.
He had a couple of drops in the game. Yes. I know that was a little disappointing. Mm-hmm. But in terms of a guy who's got that ability to, I call it a home run ability, right? The guy who, if you give him the ball, you give him a crease, he could take it all the way to the house. He's got that, and he's 200 some pounds too. So he's rocked up, jacked up. You know, we saw him at the weigh-ins. He's definitely a guy that you can, you know, make him a real bell cow. You can give him the ball, you know, 20 plus times. It's just a question of, you know, can he consistently catch the ball? And there also was some off-field stuff while at Notre Dame, suspended twice. So that's got to be taken care of, you know, by the, you know, the background check. They do their due diligence there. My main question for him was, you know, could he catch the ball? But in terms of as a pure running back, he's a guy I'm very high on as well. And another good thing is, but this class, it's in the running back class, because of the incoming juniors that have committed to come to this draft, this is a really deep position group as well. So I think this falls right in hands to what the Bears need. So if they don't, you know, if they keep Jordan Howard, they trade Jordan Howard, if they sign, you know, Kareem Hunt or they don't sign him, they will be able to get a good running back in that third, fourth round range.
I spoke with Dexter Williams about how he was going to address those off-the-field issues with the Chicago Bears and any other team that he talked with. And I think I've got his response queued up correctly. If not, I'll try again. Hold on. Here it is.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely changed because when I was young, I used to...
Nah, coming up. Hold on.
Yes, I actually did talk to the Chicago Bears, and I have a meeting with them tonight. So I'm hoping that goes well. And Chicago is not too far from South Bend, so it's right there. So it feels like I'll still be that, like that'll feel like my second home as well. Just from being in South Bend, Indiana, I would go to Chicago all the time, and I had a lot of teammates from there. So if I ever get a chance to play for Chicago Bears, I would definitely be happy.
Very cool. Sensitive question. You know, there were some off the field issues mm-hmm. and so forth. So how do you address that with a team like the Chicago Bears or any of the teams that you're talking to?
I just really have to just go in there and just be straight for them, tell them what happened, explain the situation, and then move on from it and show them the person I am today. And just really just go in and just prove a point. I'm not really a person who just really go in and just try to talk. I just wanted to show them with actions and show them that I can handle my off the field situations, and also I can be that person they can count on the field and off the field. So just going there and just showing them that I'm accountable, they can hold me accountable, and I'm responsible for my actions. And I just want to be here just to play football. And I feel like I would just go in there and just try to prove them and just show them that I can do this.
What do you think, Danny, if you're a scout for the Chicago Bears and Dexter Williams gives you that response, what do you tell Ryan Pace?
I tell him draft him. I mean, like, I'm a fan of this kid. I mean, just based on talent alone. And like I said, if those things check out, if he looks you in the eye and you feel like he's telling you the truth and you do your background, your due diligence, and everything comes back clean, everything comes back, you know, the way he says it is, I draft this kid. I mean, this kid's got that ability to, like I said, be a home run threat every time he touches the ball. You give him a crease, you know, that touchdown in the game, right? You saw where the play flow was going towards the left. His vision saw a gaping hole towards the right. He stopped, turned, cut, and then just accelerated right through the line into the end zone. So that type of talent you see this kid have. You know, his first game against Stanford this year, I mean, he owned that game. I mean, he had like two or three long runs. You know, this is the type of element that I feel is missing from the Bears' run game, the ability, you know, other than, you know, Terry Cohen here and there busting a long run, but the ability to have a running back that can give you that home run, you know, hitting ability where he can just get the ball and run 60, 70 yards for a touchdown. You know, that this guy would provide that for you.
All right. Who else did you like at that running back position?
A guy that I am a big fan of, even, you know, going back to the beginning of the season, is Michigan's Caron Higdon.
Mm-hmm.
He's a rocked up bowling ball. This guy is a tough runner. He bounces off tacklers. You know, arm tackles won't bring this guy down. What he did this week was he caught the ball very well in practice and showed that aspect of his game as well. He's also, I feel like he's a solid pass protector too. So I don't think he's a guy that would get your quarterback killed if you put him in there on third and long, you know, as a rookie. The only thing with him and Williams, he doesn't have that deep speed like I was just talking about with Williams. So if you're looking for a guy that can churn, you know, yards and get the first downs, get, you know, 10, 15, 12 yard carry here and there, kind of like what Jordan Howard is right now in a way, you know, and a guy that gives you that consistent, you know, running attack but won't give you the big playability, he's the guy for you. But he's not as explosive as Dexter Williams, so that's why he's not as high on my list from the Senior Bowl running backs as Williams is.
Okay. You got a third running back that you liked?
Well, the guy, Raquel Armstead from Temple, this is a guy that, while watching his tape, reminded me of Jordan Howard in terms of he was, you know, a bigger back, a guy who was just powerful, ran hard, you know, again, a terrific balance, you know, runs through contact. But you know what? He lost weight, I think, you know, just looking at the way he was trimmed down at Mobile. And I think that added more quickness to his game. But again, like talking about Higdon, he doesn't give you that home run potential. It just gives you a guy to continually churning and get more, you know, get yards 10, 12, 6, 7 yards here and there. But I think what the Bears are looking for, I think they're looking for that home run hitting ability. You know, guys like Kareem Hunt, guys like, you know, Dexter Williams and the other guys, the juniors that are coming into the draft as well. So I think they're looking for that big play ability. So that's why I'm kind of leaning towards, guys who can give you those wow factors, if you will.
Yeah, I agree with you on Armstead. He's the type of player I would have loved to have seen with the Chicago Bears. But knowing now what we want or what Matt Nagy wants out of running backs, I don't think there's a marriage there. The guy is 5'11", 223 pounds, runs really well in between the tackles. He had over 1,000 yards rushing last year with 13 touchdowns for Temple. I know our good buddy Colin Thompson told me, keep an eye on this guy, keep an eye on this guy, but I just don't see the fit there for the Chicago Bears. But who knows? I didn't think that Ryan Nall was going to be a fit, but they ended up signing him as an undrafted free agent. So, and in fact, you could say that Ryan Nall and Raekwon Armstead are very similar, don't you think?
Not for me. Raekwon Armstead is more, has got more elusiveness, in my opinion. He could a little more shiftier than Ryan Nall, but going back to the preseason again, I saw Nall more as a fullback, as a blocking guy. But yeah, this guy, but they're both, one cut downhill runners. So, that's their forte. So I think Armstead gives you a little bit more wiggle than Nall. But yes, to kind of go back to your point there, they're both, downhill one cut runners, guys that will, churn, move the yardstick for you, but they won't give you that big play wow ability.
All right. Anyone else before we move on to the tight end position? Because Airger 54 is in the chat room, and he's dying for us to get to the tight ends.
I think running backs, those are my three guys basically from this week.
All right. Let me look at my list real quick before wait, you left out a couple of guys at that running back position I thought you might bring up. One of them being Wes Hills, who had a really good week of practice. Unfortunately, after his 20-plus yard run, he hurt his ankle and didn't play the rest of the game very, very early in the game. So we weren't able to see him play much. And then a guy that I thought that you liked a lot was Tony Pollard. Isn't he from Kentucky, Tony Pollard? Both small backs with explosive abilities. You don't like any of those guys for the Bears?
Pollard for me is more of a third down back, if you will, a guy who's, who could come in kind of like a Tariq Cohen, a guy who's a very good pass catcher, is, a good returner. I don't think he's a guy, if we're looking to replace Jordan Howard and we need a guy who can carry the ball 20, 25 times, I just don't see a role like that in the NFL for Pollard. Wes Hill is a guy that caught me by surprise. But again, we're talking about a guy, one cut downhill runner. Mm-hmm. You saw on that run that he had in the game, he didn't have the ability to break away from the defender. He was caught. So, we want that. We're talking about the Bears want that wow, the ability to hit the home run kind of running back. And I don't think he has that ability, Wes Hill. But I haven't seen much of his tape, coming in. He was a guy that I believe was at the NFLPA game or East-West Shrine game and then got the call up to the Senior Bowl. So he's a guy that just from the week, based off the week, practices and based off of the game I saw, I don't think he fits what we were talking about, the wow home run hitting ability.
Okay. All right. Now, prior to us heading to Mobile, you were salivating at this tight end class at the Senior Bowl, and we were not disappointed with the play of these guys. So who do you like? It could be a good fit for what the Chicago Bears need.
Well, a lot of the guys I like are actually juniors, and some of them didn't even make it to Senior Bowl. But of the guys that were at Mobile, mm-hmm. I came down, and there's another guy that I'm sure you're like, stop talking about it.
I know.
is this kid Josh Oliver from San Jose State.
Yep.
6'5", 250-some pounds, has huge arms, long arms, huge hands. The games I watched from him, he was able to get downfield, stretch the defense, threaten the seam of the defense, run the flat routes and also block. When he was actually a decent, good blocker. So I'm like, oh, this guy has potential. Unfortunately, he came down to Mobile and every good play he made, there are two or three bad plays. So, one step forward, two steps back is what I was witnessing. So I you might have noticed that by the end of the week I wasn't mentioning his name anymore,
right?
But anyway, he's still a guy that if you're able to get him later on in draft, we're not, I think he's still is a prospect, a good chance. But the guy that really, really impressed me in Mobile, two of them, one was Dax Raymond,
yeah,
from Utah State, 6'5", 247 pounds. This guy just looks like a natural pass catcher. Looks like a bulked up wide receiver. He can't block, right? He's not going to be an inline blocker for you, but he's a guy that, you know, you'll line up in a slot. You know, he's a guy who's going to run patterns for you, and is going to be a threat to, whether it's a corner route like he did down at the practices where he hit the corner route for a touchdown, or where he's just, you know, running a flat dig route in the middle of the field, or he's, you know, running up the seam. You know, this is a guy that's going to be able to produce for you in terms of as a pass catching tight end. The other guy
with excellent size, right? I mean,
yes.
At Friday's practice, you and I were looking at Dax Raymond. We were looking at each other and saying, man, that guy's got great size. And yeah, and he gets open and he gets the job done. So yeah, I like that player.
Yeah, 6'4", 249 pounds is what he came in at. He's got, you know, over 10-inch hands, which is great, and almost 33-inch arms. So he's got that big catch radius you're looking for in a big-bodied pass catcher.
Right.
And he does a great job of, when he gets, if you saw him running his routes, mm-hmm. when he gets in the middle of the field, he turns and gives the quarterback his square shoulders. He gives him a nice big target to throw to. So, and especially when he's being stretched, or when he's actually challenging the defense downfield, he's got that ability, that gear, to be able to cause a separation and go up and get the ball either over the top or even, you know, go up and, you know, jump for the 50-50 jump balls, I like to call him. He's got that ability as well. So he's a guy that I was doing some tape study prior to the Senior Bowl, and I'm like, oh, this guy's a good pass catcher. And he plays with a little bit of an attitude as well. So I like that in my tight ends.
Which I was surprised at, because he's a Mormon from Utah State. He spent 2 years in Russia as a missionary. And so I didn't expect him to have that kind of edge to him, but he certainly does. He's a fine young man. And, boy, I'm going to keep my eye on Dax Raymond. I like that name.
Yep. And the other guy I liked was Drew Sample, the kid out of Washington.
Mm-hmm.
He's a guy that I believe only had like 22 or 23 receptions on the year. I don't believe he was utilized at Washington to his full extent. He was mainly used as a Y inline blocking tight end. But if you look at him, he's got the body, he's got the size, and he's a natural pass catcher. When you throw him the ball, I mean, he catches it, snatches it with his hand. He doesn't have to body catch it. He doesn't bobble it, you know, nice and smooth, and then just gets upfield quickly. And he, like I said, he's a blocking tight end too. So he's a guy that will be able to, you can line up, you know, as a blocker or split him out wide. I kind of compared him to last year, where this kid named Will Disley from Washington went to the Seahawks. And for the first 4 or 5 weeks, he was, you know, tearing up the league. And unfortunately, he got hurt. But he's a guy that also wasn't utilized, was also categorized, if you will, as a blocking tight end. Disley, that is. And then, you know, similar to Sample now. So I'm wondering if this is the, you know, the new Will Disley this year, this guy Sample can be that, you know, that productive in terms of an NFL offense. But he's a guy that really impressed me, a guy that I can think could come in and contribute right away as a rookie.
Excellent. All right. Anyone else at the tight end position before we move to the safety position?
Foster Moreau had some moments, the kid from LSU. Mm-hmm. Again, these LSU pass catchers, whether it's receivers or tight ends, because they have some troubles at quarterback, I don't think they're ever utilized, or I don't think we see their full capabilities in college. So I think he had a pretty good week. He made some nice catches, particularly down the field during his practices. And Tommy Sweeney, man, looking at the weigh-ins, he probably had the worst body of all the group. But you know what? He went out there and he made some catches. But I just don't think he's a guy that's going to really be a threat downfield. I think he's going to be one of those, you know, third tight ends, kind of, if you will, on the roster that, you know, that will come in and contribute, but not a guy that I could see starting in the NFL.
All right. We know the Bears' history with drafting safeties. They, for a while there, they were drafting the safety in the third round for like 5 out of 6 years or something like that. Who do you like at safety that played at the Senior Bowl?
All right. So safety is a position that we went down there, with an eye on, a keen eye on, to try and find some guy that we can think the Bears could go ahead and hopefully, maybe, if not replace Amos, come in and compete for a position to take a spot. So the guy that really struck a chord with me and a guy that I really kind of liked after I met him was Nasir Adderley from Delaware. He's a small school kid that really, a lot of guys haven't heard of, but what his ability is, his strength is actually coverage. His ability, he's got speed to be able to roam the secondary and to be able to cover, you know, half of the field. There's a highlight tape I've seen of him where he goes from one hash mark to the opposite side of the field and makes the interception. So he's got that type of recovery speed. What I found to be a pleasant surprise was his ability to come down and hit you. And he's not a big guy. Right. I think he's like 5'11", I want to say. But he will come down and he'll pop you.
Right.
And he does not shy away from contact, which is something that I love to see in my safeties, especially if you're coming downhill and supporting the run. The one negative about Adderley, and I was a little bit shocked, but when they lined him up one-on-one covering the slot, whether it was a tight end or a corner, whether it was a tight end or receiver, more so the receiver, he was pretty bad. So I don't know if that's something that he just doesn't have the ability to cover. But in terms of being able to play that deep, you know, deep safety, cover a portion of the field, got that range, plus hitting ability, he's a guy that that I like a lot. So that was one guy I like. Did you have something? I think we talked to him. We did talk to Nasir Adderley.
We did. I don't have that interview, but he was an impressive young man. He is a little shy of 6 feet, 195 pounds, and he's got some really good bloodlines. His what do I want to say here? One of his relatives is Herb Adderley, who played for the Dallas Cowboys and Green Bay Packers, and I believe is a Hall of Famer. So he's got the bloodlines, and he came up with an interception at the Senior Bowl. So he's definitely a player to keep an eye on, Nasir Adderley. Who else you got?
And I talked to him, and I told him about, you know, Bilal Nichols and, and how we drafted him last year. And he said that Bilal is actually his, like, kind of like his guide. He's kind of helping him through this whole process, and that they talk often and so on and so forth. So he goes, you know, it would be great to be able to come up here and play with, you know, with Bilal again if drafted by the Bears. And I also told him that, I said, you know, our head coach is from Delaware. And I go, do you have any pass catching experience? Because he likes to pick defensive players and put them in offensive schemes or, you know, offensive plays.
Right.
He goes, yeah. He goes, he used to be a receiver. So I'm like, all right, there you go. You know. So if you get drafted by the Bears, you may have an opportunity to catch a pass in the NFL. He just was ear to ear with a smile, and he's like, yeah, you know, he's excited to go. So he's another guy that, you know, meeting him, talking to him, yeah, you come away, you're very impressed.
Absolutely. All right, Nasir Adderley from Delaware. Who else you got at the safety position?
The guy that surprised me, the guy that wasn't on my radar but really caught my eye, was Will Harris, guy from Boston College. Mm-hmm. I believe he's 6'1", almost 200 pounds. He's a guy that, when watching his tape, he's got the ability to what I call lull the quarterback into a throw. So he'll drop back and he'll read the quarterback's eyes. And even though the quarterback is looking one way, he kind of has a sense and feel that he's going to go the opposite way. Mm-hmm. There's a couple times he broke on a ball that even the receiver wasn't ready for, and he broke and you know, batted away or actually picked it off. So he showed some deceptive speed in terms of being able to get from point A to point B and be a deterrent in terms of the pass defense. So he's a guy that I like, caught my eye, and I'm going to do some more research on him after this. And Marquise Blair, that kid from Utah, was a guy that I was very interested in, because watching that Utah defense, they are very impressive, and they like to hit. And Marquise Blair is a guy that will come up and he will pop you. So, you know, talking about potentially replacing Adrian Amos, we want a guy that's going to be able to come in and not only supply solid run defense, but also be a very good sure tackler in the open field. So this is a kid, Blair, that I have my eye on as a guy that potentially could fill that role. A guy that I wasn't looking at safety, but, you know, watching some Kentucky tape and doing some research on some of the other players, he kept popping for me. And he kept popping for me in a position of nickel corner / nickel safety. And that's Mike Edwards from Kentucky. He's a guy that I saw, when I saw him play, I kind of resembled Bryce Callahan in a way that he's not as shifty and as quick as Callahan, but he's got that ability as a blitzer off the edge, off the slot. He can come in and he can get to the quarterback and he can bring him down. He's a sure tackler in the open field, and he's pretty darn good in coverage as well. So they have him listed as safety. I see him more as a nickel corner / nickel safety. So we'll see how he ends up in terms of his position in the NFL. So those are the three guys really I was looking at. There's a couple of guys that really disappointed me. One being Kari Willis from Michigan State. He just looked horrible in the drills and didn't really impress me at all. But those three guys really caught my eye. Actually, four guys really caught my eye, and those guys I'm going to be doing some more film study on.
Excellent. All right, let's move to the cornerback position. There was some talent out there, and who did you like? I got a couple of names that I'd like to talk about, and I got some audio too. Let's see if we sync up here on who we liked. Go ahead.
Well, again, talking about Kentucky guys, I think I know where you're going, my friend. I think I know where you're going. Lonnie Johnson Jr. And this guy is one heck of a physical corner. He will come up and he will rock you. Yep. There was a screen pass in the one of the practices where he just came up and he just blew up the right running back. I mean, he knows he can't hit, you know, and he got chastised right away by the coaching staff for hitting this guy, but he didn't care. I mean, he came up, he popped him, and then he flexed, and he was like, he was proud of himself. So he is a guy that, you know, at Kentucky, they play a lot of press coverage, and so he's a guy that you know, if with the way Pagano was talking, that he wants to do a lot of, you know, blitzing, you're going to put some pressure on the quarterback. A lot of times your corners are going to be asked to play a lot more press man coverage. So he's a guy that I think could come in and do that. I just think that his stock has risen to the point where he might be going, late day two, if you will.
Yeah.
So I don't know if he'll be available, but that's a guy that really, you know, really caught my eye and really impressed me.
I did talk to him after the game. Let's listen to a little bit of this. It's about a minute and 20 seconds.
Man, just play your game, man. A lot of people going to count you out, and a lot of people was looking over me before I got here, you know. So they just told me, you know, just go out there and show what I can do. And that's what I did, man. Learned the playbook as quick as possible, man. It was real easy. So, I mean, just felt like I did what I had to do this week, for real.
Excitement now coming out of this week and the next 10 weeks ahead. Are you at a different place now than, let's say, a week ago?
Oh, yeah, man. I feel like I'm the best corner in the draft. That's just what it is, man. I can tackle. I can cover. I mean, there's a lot of the people that don't even want to tackle. So, I don't know. I just stood out, man. I'm 6'3", 210 pounds, and I'm going to run a 4.4 at the combine. So, y'all can take it from there.
Yeah. Any areas where you think you can improve before the combine?
Oh, yeah, man. It's a lot of stuff I can work on. You feel me? I'm not the best, you know, far as in a league yet, you know what I'm saying? There's a lot of stuff I can work on, but it's on the team, whoever take me, you know, to help me work on that.
You talked to the Bears while you were out here?
Yeah, I did.
How did that go?
It was good, man. I feel like they really liked me, me being close, you know what I'm saying? I love to be on that defense for real.
So you saw them play this year. How would you describe the defense?
Man, savages, man. They all tackle the ball. There's a lot of goons on that defense, man. I feel like if I go there, I'd be a great part of it.
I have to agree. He would be a great part of it. Yeah. He's got me excited, man, the possibility.
He's a confident kid, and his game shows that. I mean, he is a guy that, you know, the important thing we got to, you know, keep in mind if you're a cornerback is you're going to get beat, right? There's no perfect cornerback. Right. It's just you got to forget that. You have a short-term memory and come back the next play and give it your all. And this guy that, you know, he'll get beat and he'll like nod to them, say, all right, you got me this time, but I'm going to get you next time. And whether if it's a hit, it's a pass breakup, or it's an interception or something, he's going to come back and he's going to make a play again. So definitely impressed with Lonnie Johnson Jr.
All right. Who else at the cornerback position do you think could be a target for the Chicago Bears, somebody that you liked?
Another guy that I was looking at coming into the week was Rock Yassin from Temple.
Yeah.
Tough kid, a guy that, you know, like that we talked about, just kind of like Lion Johnson, you know, a press cover corner, physical, will come down and has no fear in terms of, you know, hitting you. A great kid. We talked to him, and again, another one that, you know, felt like, you know, he was honest with us and told us, you know, about his weaknesses and strengths and stuff like that. But I just think as the week got going, I think he got more exposed in terms of his lack of foot speed. Mm-hmm. But what I mean by that is he might not be a press corner or a cover corner. He might be more of a cover two corner, a guy who kind of drops back in zone and kind of reads the quarterback's eyes and then comes downhill and attacks and wraps up and tackles. Funny enough, though, he says that that's probably an area he needs to work on because he played more press corner in college. So that's one I'm gonna go back and kind of look some more tape and see what I'm missing here. I don't know if it was just, you know, again, we don't know what's going on, right? These guys are being pulled in all different directions after practice, you know, before practice, they're getting interviewed and so on and so forth. He kind of had a bad day or bad couple of days and whatnot. So he was a guy I was really high on, really looking forward to seeing down in Mobile. You know, first couple of practices, he looked good, and then started tailing off a little bit. So I'm not sure if there's something else going on there, or if it's just maybe, you know, lack of foot speed is, you know, might be the issue there. So
he was picked on early and often at the Senior Bowl, and he just did not respond. I was really disappointed in his performance. I thought his Friday practice was maybe a little bit better than what you thought, but you looked at tape and you studied it more. So I'll definitely go with you on that. But definitely his performance Saturday was just not what we were hoping for.
He doesn't look back and try and find the ball at all. He's got to look back and find the ball. He just, you know, looks straight at the receiver and tries to play the receiver, whether it's, you know, whatever he's using, whether it's the receiver's eyes, the hands, or motion or whatnot, so he can give him a tell that the ball is coming. But he had no clue the ball was coming. He was, I think, got two or three pass interference calls on Saturday. So, you know, he might be a guy that, you know, I asked him actually when I talked to him, I said, you know, they talked to you about possibly playing safety? You know, because of, you know, lack of some foot quickness. And he said, no, they haven't talked to him about playing safety, basically. And he was just, you know, being interviewed as a cornerback. So we'll see how that goes. The other guy that impressed me, again, this is a guy that started off the week a little slow. Mm-hmm. And then as I kept watching and watching, I think it got better. That's Iman Marshall from USC. Mm-hmm. He's a bigger cornerback, 6 feet, I think of like 195, 197 pounds is what he came in at. But he's a guy that, you know, when doing the one-on-ones, displayed the agility, the foot quickness I was talking about, a guy that could stay hip-to-hip with the receiver downfield and mirror them and be able to, you know, get his hands on a ball or even, you know, pick it off. So, but talking to some of the scouts, you know, later on in the week, they were telling me that they think his best position, funny enough, would be safety in NFL. Huh. So that's something that I kind of didn't agree with initially. So we'll see how that plays out. But I mean, I thought, you know, first couple practices was a little rough for there. He got beat a couple times. There was a couple times that actually he was going up against Penny Hart in the slot, and Hart just left him. And you know, he was gone. Like Marshall had no idea where Hart went. It was that bad of a burn. So, but then, like I said, as the week went on, he got a little better. And showed me a little bit more competitive fire, some juices there. Maybe he heard and the guys were telling him, hey, you know, you're not looking too good. And so he came on and put forth the effort and looked better towards the end of the week. So we'll see how that trends ends in terms of him going forward. Will they keep him at corner? Or do this? Does the NFL feel like he should be playing safety? We'll see how that goes. But he's a guy that I know was highly ranked coming into the season in terms of, you know, preseason rankings. Mm-hmm. So he's a guy that definitely has some talent.
You're definitely right. I think people did talk to him, and his performance did get better as the week went on. I spoke to him right after the game.
All right, Mr. CEO, how did
that? I referred to him as Mr. CEO because he had told a previous reporter that he's now the CEO of his own company and that he has to behave that way and act that way. So that's what that remark was about.
All right, Mr. CEO, how did evaluate your play for me not only this week but in today's game?
I feel like I had a solid beat. I feel like it's always room for improvement. I always look for room for improvement. I had some plays I feel like I missed that I could have made throughout the week and stuff like that. And having this ability to be out here was a blessing. So I played with a lot of great dudes that came out here and was physical and made a lot of plays this week.
Who was the toughest competitor you went up against this week?
It was a lot of – our offense had a lot of dudes. So you had Ohio State receiver that was really nice. You had Keenan Dawes that was really nice. You had Debo Samuel that was really nice. Playing against some of those guys and testing my ability to see where I can play, it was dope. It was really nice.
Did you get a chance to talk to Chicago
Chicago Bears this week? And if so, can you tell me how that went?
I talked to him a little bit, and it went kind of well. They did the basic evaluation aspect, nothing really too detailed and really in-depth, but it went well, I believe.
Now, how do you prepare for the combine and moving forward for the draft?
Now it's just really serious business. Once I land, it's my numbers now. All they want to look at is my numbers and stuff like that. Obviously, I came out here and showed that I can play multiple positions and do multiple things. So now it's all about the numbers and stuff like that. That's all I can do now.
Anything in that interview caught your ear? Danny?
In terms of Marshall?
Yeah.
Yeah. Other than the fact that you know, he knows now that it's all based upon numbers, that mm-hmm. he's got to go to the combine and show that he's got that speed, he's got the foot quickness to be able to keep up and play. You know, if he wants to play press cover corner, he's got to be able to show that ability, that agility to be able to, you know, mirror and stay hip to hip with the receiver. So I think he knows what his, you know, downfalls are or what his negative remarks are. So I think he's going to, you know, hopefully work on it and prove that, you know, he could play some cornerback in the NFL. But yeah, I mean, another kid that, you know, open and honest with us and, you know, like I was talking about earlier, it's kind of, you know, refreshing to hear these kids be honest with you and not give you canned answers.
Really, truly is. Anybody else at the cornerback position that played at the Senior Bowl that you caught your eye?
There's a kid, it was a late ad from James Madison. I want to say his name is Jimmy Moreland, and I was looking for my notes for him. But he's a guy that came in late. He was a late ad. I believe it was an injury, either an injury replacement or someone didn't show up, and he came in. It was Barton. He was in the East-West Shrine Game. He had a pretty decent game in the East-West Shrine Game, and he came in, and he's a guy another guy that's got the confidence, got the cockiness. You know, he could get beat and burned here and there, but he will come back and he'll just, you know, kind of like a bulldog attitudes, you know, will come back and just keep going at you. So I like that. So as a guy, I marked down, said, all right, let's go find some James Madison tape and take a look at this guy. But he's a guy that also kind of caught my eye. Nothing that, you know, you're thinking of day one or day two, but he's a guy that definitely, you know, day three, possibly, maybe even like, you know, late or undrafted free agent, a guy you bring in who can compete and who can, you know, possibly make your roster.
Mm-hmm. Before I ask you about other players outside the Senior Bowl that you have been scouting and you want to share with our audience, I want to play a little audio of inside linebacker Terrell Hanks. This kid really impressed me from the very beginning at the weigh-in when he came out. I mean, he was probably the most sculpted athlete of all the guys at the weigh-in. And then during the week, I mean, he just played solidly. And at the game, I thought he was a tackling machine. Let me look at the stats here and see if my perception was reality here.
Yeah, this is the guy, remember I told you in the ways, I'm like, this guy looks like an NFL linebacker.
Yes.
I mean, like right now, today, he can go into the NFL game right now and play NFL linebacker. That's how this guy is. When Aldo says he's rocked up, he's jacked up, he's not kidding.
Right.
You know,
he was in on eight tackles along with Deshaun Davis to lead the South. Very impressive. I thought there was, you know, a number of inside linebackers that were impressive. But let me play this little bit of audio from Terrell Hanks. I thought he really presented himself very well.
For you,
well, that would be I already had the closing music queued up, and that was wrong. So let's try this again here.
How important was that for you to go out here and handle yourself against the folks from larger, quote-unquote, power programs?
It was very important. It was not only I was representing the name on the back of my jersey, but I was representing my school in New Mexico State and everyone back in Las Cruces, the whole community, you know, that, you know, an under-the-radar kid can play with anybody out here, you know, if all it takes is hard work and discipline.
Is it tough playing at a school without a conference?
It's tough. It is tough. You know, you get a lot of naysayers, you know, about I can't play or we're not the best component. But, you know, it is tough.
Did you talk to the Chicago Bears at all this weekend? And so how did that go?
I talked to Mr. Shivers. It went really well. You know, he seemed to like me pretty much.
What kind of questions did you have to answer?
What type of kid I was. He wanted to know me personally, what type of person I was. It went well.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Keep an eye on Terrell Hanks. Good young man a physical specimen. Unbelievable.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. He was a guy that I saw, and I'm like, all right, this guy can play. I just don't think the Bears are going to go for inside linebacker. That's why I kind of didn't really, you know, dive deep into his tape. But, definitely an impressive kid. Definitely a guy. I think he's more party suited for an inside linebacker in a 3-4. Not sure how much range he has in terms of if you put him in the middle in a 4-3. But definitely a guy who will run and hit you. I mean, and there was a couple of times in practices where you heard a big thump. You know, it was a linebacker meeting a running back in the hole. And if you look up, that's him. Mm-hmm. He's meeting that linebacker, and he's meeting him, you know, pretty rudely. So, definitely a guy that I think is going to be a player in the NFL. You know, I just don't know if the Bears are going to be looking for an inside linebacker. That's why.
Yeah, there's no way that the Bears would cut ties with Danny Trevathan, right? I mean, this is he's got a large cap hit this year of over $7 million, $7.6 million. But I just don't see it. I just don't see them moving on for Danny Trevathan. If they're serious about making a run for the Super Bowl this year, you got to keep him and Roquan in the middle.
There's no way, in my opinion, there's no way you can, you know, release that guy. I mean, I don't know how much of a, you know, cap savings or dead cap money you'll have if you release him. But this guy's one of the leaders of the defense. A defense that's, you know, pretty impressive. You already have a big change with the defensive coordinator and some of the defensive coaches leaving. You don't want any of the personnel on the field to leave, especially a guy that's as important as Trevathan is for this defense. So I would be floored and you know, quite honestly, I'd be upset if Janet Trevathan is cut and released because, A, you don't have anybody on the roster that can replace him. Mm-hmm. Now, I like Nick Kwiatkowski, and I think he's a good backup linebacker, and he's a pretty damn good special teams player, but I don't think he's not Danny Trevathan in terms of his ability. I mean, we saw the difference, right, last year when Roquan was finally put into the starting lineup. The defense, the speed, the ability to cover running backs and tight ends, you know, from that linebacker group, what a difference that was, that added speed to that defense. You cannot replace Danny Trevathan. Now, if you want to bring in someone that you can, you know, groom and eventually, you know, make him Trevathan's replacement, by all means, you know, you can always improve the depth behind the starters. So, you know, that's an area where you could probably, you know, strengthen yourself. But again, to replace a starter that is key, is a team leader, one of the voices on defense, I would not want that, and I would be, you know, to be honest, floored if that happened.
All right, Danny, give me some names of players that you've been looking at some tape at, weren't necessarily at the Senior Bowl, and you want to share with our followers.
Well, the big thing right now is with the NFL draft is 144 underclassmen declared for the draft. So, you know, put that number, right, with the senior class, and there's only 256 slots to draft, right? So, I mean, there's going to be a ton of players available that can play in the NFL that, you know, are not going to be drafted. So this year, especially this year, keep an eye, because the Bears don't have that many picks as of right now, we don't know what they're going to do in terms of trades, keep an eye on these guys that are not being drafted and who signs them, who scoops them up. I expect the Bears to be heavily involved in the undrafted free agent market this after this draft. So, but keeping with the theme that we're looking at here, we're looking at running backs, we're looking at tight ends, we're looking at safeties, cornerbacks. And I did forget to mention, because we said we're only going to pick five, but I feel like outside linebacker, pass rusher is also a need.
Yeah.
You know, because we have Aaron Lynch, who's a free agent. Mm-hmm. I'm expecting him. He's going to follow Vic Fangio to Denver. So that's, you know, that's what I'm expecting, because he usually goes with Vic Fangio. So assuming he's not back, right, we have Sam Acho coming off of a torn pec. Okay. And then we have the two young guys and Isaiah Irving, which I believe is a exclusive rights free agent, if I'm not mistaken. And then the rookie from last year, Kali Fitz. So, you know, to say that the Bears lack depth at that position, you know, is an understatement. So that's one position that I'm also looking at as well. So a kid that caught my eye, that you and I spoke with down in Mobile, and I know you asked for guys outside of Mobile, but that's guy I wanted to bring up real quick is O'Shane Zimenez.
Yeah.
Outside linebacker, he was defensive end at Old Dominion, but I project him as an outside linebacker in the NFL. he's a kid that when once Aldo asked him or brought up the possibility of playing for the Bears, I mean, you should see this guy just lit up. I mean, he was excited. He's like, yeah, I can't wait. Let's put me there. Take me right now. You know, so he's a guy that shows that ability to come off the edge as an outside linebacker. I posted some video today of him when I was, you know, scouting him, and I see that his ability to be able to not only kind of read the defense, or I'm sorry, read what the offense is doing, show that mental processing capability. He was able to tip up a pass, intercept it, and, you know, create a turnover for his team. So he's a guy that will provide that outside pass rush ability. And I think both of you and I talked about Aldo during the week is that he got better in terms of a run, or at least he impressed me in terms of as a run defender. He was able to set that hard edge. Again, he's a little undersized guy, but, you know, he's got that heart, that strong core to be able to, you know, set the hard edge, be able to be a difference, you know, in terms of as a run, you know, run stopper. So that's a guy to keep an eye on at the outside linebacker position. So in terms of, let's go back to, say, running back. So again, a lot of juniors are coming into this draft, you know, so guys like Trayvon Williams from Texas A&M, he's a guy that, you know, right now he's projected from anywhere to go from the bottom of the first round to the second round. So this guy drops, you know, good players are going to drop. So this is a guy to keep an eye on. He's a guy that appears to be a natural pass catcher out of the backfield, looks smooth in terms of his running ability. He's a guy I think was fit nicely in the Matt Nagy offense. So that's a guy to keep an eye on. Trayvon Williams from Texas A&M. Mm-hmm. Other guys that I'm looking at in terms of the Bears, we've talked about Dexter Williams. Here's a name to kind of keep in the back of your mind. Bryce Love from Stanford. Okay. Bryce Love, if he came out last year, possibly would have been a first-round pick, no worse than a second-round pick. The kid came back for a senior year and had an okay season, but tore his ACL at the end of the season. So he's currently not participating in any of these drills and any of these all-star games and won't participate in the combine. But he's a guy that's, at worst, a second-round pick. If he drops because of an injury to, say, the third, fourth, fifth round, I'm not saying he will, but if he drops, that's a guy that I think would be a perfect fit in the Bears system as well. He's not going to be a 20 to 25 carry guy, mm-hmm. but he's going to be a guy that's going to give you that explosiveness, the pass catching ability out of the backfield, and the home run hitting wow factor that we were just talking about. So if you get him in a third, fourth round, and you know, he's, you know, obviously the medical, all things got to come back clean, and, you know, assuming all that's good, that's a guy that you can probably steal. Okay, mm-hmm. So that's a guy to keep an eye on. Okay. But in terms of like later on in the draft, I mean, we got guys like Nick Brossette from LSU. We got Miles Sanders from Penn State. Mike Weber from Ohio State. You know, a lot of running back, Justice Hill from Oklahoma State. These are the guys, a lot of underclassmen that came into the draft. Now, a lot of guys on Twitter are hitting me about Devin Singletary from Florida Atlantic. I would be shocked if he's available. I mean, that guy is also electric. I'll be shocked if he's available in that, later, you know, third, you know, day three of the draft. But he's another guy. If, you know, if he's there, he's a guy that's got that ability to, you know, to create separation in terms of, you know, as a pass catcher, and also being able to give you that juice, that wow factor as a runner too. So a number of players are going to be available, especially at the running back position, that could definitely be of interest and could definitely come in and help the Bears next season. So keep an eye on that deep running back class. The other position we were talking about was receiver. Again, another area here where we feel like more depth would be great. And this is another group that we talked about earlier that, you know, might not have the Odell Beckhams, the Julio Jones, those big guys, you know, but has a lot of good guys that would fit what the Bears look to do. And what is that? That is just get the ball quickly out of the hands of the quarterback into the hands of a playmaker and have this person create. So you're gonna have guys like Deebo Samuel we talked about earlier, Penny Hart we talked about earlier. You're gonna, you know, if you go down in the list and you look at guys like Keyshawn Johnson from Florida State, some Fresno State, I'm sorry, Andy Isabella we talked about earlier a little bit, Keelan Dawes, who was one of my, you know, under the radar guys who had a great week at Mobile, but I think by the end of the week everyone knew his name, so I didn't even mention him in terms of, you know, surprises. So there's a ton of players that are going to be in this wide receiver group that will be, options for the Bears later on in the draft. Dylan Mitchell is this kid out of Oregon. A lot of guys are down on him, every time I see his tape, he's always making plays. So a lot of these guys, some of them will depend on their times at the combine in terms of how fast they run, whether certain teams look for him or not. But another group that you'll be able to find players later on in the draft, and especially now with the way Matt Nagy likes to use his arsenal, if you will. If you give him a player, a guy that could, whether it's a running back or a tight end, or if it's a receiver, if you're explosive and you can make plays, he will find a way to get the ball in your hands. Mm-hmm. So that's the thing now with scouting for the Bears is so much fun now. It's just find an explosive player. What does he do best? And does he fit what Nagy wants to do? And if he does fit all three criteria, then that's a guy that Bears can probably look at or draft. So the other thing we were looking at is tight ends. Again, another group that I feel could, because of the infusion of the junior class, has really, really looked like it's a deep class here as well. So, I mean, we got, top of the class, we got the kids from Iowa, the T.J. Hockenson and Noah Fant. We got Irv Smith Jr. from Alabama. But again, these are guys that are probably going to go in the first two rounds. Caden Smith from Stanford. Drew Sample, we talked about. Isaac Nauta is a guy from Georgia to keep an eye on. He's right now projected to go in the fourth, fifth round. He's another kid that's a move tight end, a guy who could have been utilized more, in my opinion, at Georgia, but is a guy that has shown the ability to be a pass catcher, a guy that could threaten down the seam, also be a red zone target. Jace Sternberger from Texas A&M is another guy, 6'4", 250 pounds. The question about him is how fast is he? Does he run a 4.83? Does he run a 4.45, 4.6? We got to see how fast he runs, but that's another kid to keep an eye on. That's a junior that came in early as well. So tons of players in this draft class that at tight end that you can also go ahead and Dax Raymond, we talked about, right? Mm-hmm. A guy who can also stretch the field, a guy who's a natural pass catcher, got good size. So, guys like this that the Bears can bring in and fulfill that need there in that area. And then, do you want me to continue or do you want
to? No, go ahead.
Okay. Because I'm on a roll here, so I don't know if you wanted to say something or not. But
No, go ahead. You're doing good.
Again, in terms of the cornerbacks, we talked about guys that could possibly come in and play some nickel, replacing Bryce Callahan potentially. Mm-hmm. So we have, a local kid, Montre Hardage from Northwestern, is a guy that I think is very undervalued, very underrated. Right now I'm seeing projections of him going in the seventh round, which I think if you get him in the seventh round, that's a steal. Mm-hmm. So there's a kid from Kentucky, opposite of Lonnie Johnson, Derek Beatty Jr. He's a bigger corner, 6'2", about 200 pounds. His big thing is, does he have the speed and the foot quickness to be able to keep up with his receivers? Is he a cover two corner? Is he a guy to potentially move him over to safety? What are you going to do with him? So that's another guy. Clemson's got a couple guys, Mark Fields, who hasn't really done much in terms of, stick out. But he's a guy that definitely has got some potential. David Long from Michigan is going to be another guy we keep an eye on as well. Again, I can just keep going on and on and on in terms of the depth here at this position as well. So Jimmy Moreland, the guy we talked about from James Madison, he's a guy that caught my eye from the East-West Shrine game and had a decent showing over at the Senior Bowl. So as a guy, we're going to have to, look at him as well. So see if he's a guy that can come in and possibly contribute right away too. Moving over to safeties, we got my favorite safety right now in the draft is Taylor Rapp, but this the kid from Washington. He's projected first round, mm-hmm. Late first, early second round, so he's not going to be available. But, a guy that I wanted to see play at down in Mobile is this Jonathan Abram from Mississippi State. Fortunately, he had a foot injury, so he wasn't able to participate. So he's a guy that probably will not be available for the Bears in the third round. But definitely a player that I like seeing the guy come down tough hitter, guy who I think would fit in and replace Amos, quite smoothly. So Will Harris, we talked about earlier with Boston College, is a guy I like to do some more research on. Definitely showed the range, the ability to come down and be a factor in terms of run defense. Darius West is a guy we talked about with Kentucky. Again, a lot of Kentucky guys I'm bringing up here because, watching their tape, these guys just keep popping out at me. They had a pretty good defense this past season. So he's another guy that, could be there in that later round area. Trying to think here, who else? Donovan Wilson, the kid from Texas A&M. I'm sorry?
I didn't say anything. Go ahead.
Oh, from Texas A&M. This kid is 6 feet, 207 pounds. This guy is a sure tackler in the open field. So, you know, we're talking about a guy possibly replacing Amos. Again, this is a guy that can come in. He's cut in terms of, his body's, you know, the way he comes up and plays. He's well defined. He's strong at the point of contact. A guy who can be a definite factor in stopping the run. Coverage wise, I we'll have to do some more research on him to see how he fits the defense. But another guy that definitely worth taking a look at in a later round. So tons of players to go through, but you know, definitely don't feel because the Bears don't have a first or second round pick, they're going to miss out on players. They have a chance to really, if they continue hopefully stock more picks, get more picks, really have to solidify some of their depth issues on the roster.
I totally agree. You know, one guy that we didn't talk about much, but I was impressed with his play down at the Senior Bowl, especially in the game, was Corey Ballantyne, the defensive back from Washburn. He's 6 feet tall, a little over 200 pounds. He's got some really long arms. This guy looks like a promising cornerback that could be available in the 6th, 7th round and could be a good developmental pick for the Bears.
Yep, I was actually going to mention him. But he has such a rough start to the week that I totally like this guy is probably just, you know, again, another guy that's over his skis here. But you said, he came on later on in the week and he started getting his confidence. And once he got that confidence going, he was able to, you know, put together back-to-back, you know, good practices. And then I think he had a pretty good game too. I mean, there's a couple times that it looked like he might have been out of position, but, you know, was able to recover and at least also for the tackle. So, definitely a guy that a small school guy that, you know, could, you know, possibly bring in and develop like we've been talking about from some of these other prospects too. So you're right. You know, 6 foot tall corner, guys who can play some man coverage, some press coverage, you know, definitely we're going to be looking for those now with the Bears, especially if, you know, Pagano is going to be bringing in this aggressive attacking more of a blitzing defense. When you blitz, you send more guys. You guys in the back end, they're going to have to do some more man-to-man covering. So some press cover corner.
Danny, we've got two hours talking Senior Bowl, talking prospects for the Chicago Bears, and it's been a fun time. I know that you want people to know your Twitter handle, which is DSHIMON56, at DSHIMON56. If you've got a player that you want Danny to look into to provide a scouting report for you, just hit him up on Twitter, DSHIMON56. And Danny will help you out there. This is the first of our series of draft shows, Draft on Tap. We'll have several of them before the draft, and we'll have special guests. So stick with us. We're going to be talking lots of great football here. And remember, if you drink, please do not drive, and always bear down.